Let us attend. At that time, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I have pointed out in other places, I think even in a couple of sermons, how the Lord's baptism in the Jordan gathers into itself the whole of the Exodus, which began with the crossing of the Red Sea and ended with the crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land. The Lord's baptism in the Jordan then shows the gospel beginning where Israel's exodus leaves off, at the Jordan. Rising from the Jordan, the Lord is led by the Spirit, not into the Promised Land, as Israel was when they went through the Jordan behind Joshua, but he's led into the wilderness, just as Israel was when she came up from the Red Sea. He is led into the wilderness by the Spirit, even as the Israelites were led into the wilderness by the Spirit, in the form of a fiery pillar and a radiant cloud. But the Promised Land, which is the destination of the Lord's Exodus, is not Canaan. It's the kingdom of heaven. This is revealed in the opening of the heavens when he rose from the Jordan. That's where he's going, to the opened heavens. And the kingdom of heaven, the Lord says in St. Luke, is within you. In his baptism, the liturgical texts tell us that the Lord makes haste to bear creation down into the stream. He brings it to a better and a changeless path down there at the bottom of the stream, at the bottom of the Jordan. This changeless and better and changeless path was prefigured by the Israelites crossing over on a narrow piece of dry land. In the depths of the sea, by descending into the water at our baptism, by submitting our will and obedience to Christ in faith, we ascend to God. In other words, the destination of the Lord's Exodus is not of geography or of history. It's not outward and visible. Rather, the Lord's Exodus is inwardly understood, as it says in the liturgical texts. In other words, it's a spiritual exodus. It's heavenly. It's eternal. So when the Lord descends into the Jordan, the Lord bears the outward, invisible, or earthly exodus of Israel. He bears it down into another dimension. He brings it out into a heavenly dimension that is within the human soul. There to work his salvation, as it says in the Psalms, in the midst of the earth. But that means that he's working his salvation in the heart of man, in the midst of his earth, the midst of his body. In both the Exodus of Israel and in the Lord's baptism at the Jordan, there are certain indications that tie all of this to the creation. For example, the waters in the Red Sea are divided, just like the Lord divides the waters from below from the waters that are above at the creation. At the Exodus, it's all blackness, and it's darkness and night, just as at the creation, there's darkness that broods over the face of the earth. The salvation, then, that Christ is working in the midst of the earth, in the heart, would be the creation in us of a new heart, and raising us to life in a new spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Lord gave up the Spirit on the cross, and what was that Spirit that he gave up? It was the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't mean that he gave it up. The verb can also be translated that he sent it forth, like Noah sending the dove forth from the ark. When he dies on the cross, he sent forth his Spirit. And when he did so, the curtain of the temple, which you understand represents the heavens, was torn in two. Moreover, it says that when the Lord sent forth the Spirit on the cross, it says that the tombs were opened. The bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from the tombs, they entered into the holy city after his resurrection. Well, what was the holy city? It's not the earthly Jerusalem, brothers and sisters. The heavenly Jerusalem. The opening of the heavens at the Lord's baptism in the Jordan, corresponding with the opening of the curtains of the temple at his death on the cross, shows that the sea of the Lord's inward exodus is the tomb or death, and that his exodus comes to its rest, its Sabbath in heaven. On the other side of the tomb, the Red Sea, in eternal life. This theological vision set forth in Holy Scripture shows the Lord's earthly sojourn from the Jordan to Golgotha as the outward and visible face of this inward exodus into the sea, into the tomb of the human heart. That opens beyond all things, and out onto the mystery of God that is Christ in you, and into the kingdom of heaven that is within you. And indeed, St. Luke's gospel shows the movement of the Lord's ministry as he comes out of the Jordan and is led into the wilderness, and then settles in Capernaum in Galilee, which is to the north. What is it? It's Galilee, then Samaria, and then Judea. So the whole of St. Luke's gospel shows the movement of the Lord's ministry to be one long journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. Already at Luke chapter 9, we hear, when the days drew near, the Lord set his face to go to Jerusalem. And note that his journey does not end in Jerusalem, because he is taken outside of the city, beyond Jerusalem, where he is crucified. And then the stone that the builders rejected, Christ, is laid in the tomb to become the cornerstone of the heavenly temple, the crucified and risen body of Christ, the church, whose foundation is in the tomb. Even hell. And even yet his journey does not end until the risen Lord ascends from the mountain again outside the city. You see how everything is taking place outside of Jerusalem. We're going beyond Jerusalem. He ascends from the mountain outside of Jerusalem and comes to rest, comes to his Sabbath and his throne in the kingdom of heaven. In the theological setting of the Lord's inward exodus from the Jordan up to Galilee and then one long journey back to Jerusalem, in this theological setting, we contemplate this morning's Gospel of Zacchaeus, which announces to us that our Lenten journey to the Lord's saving tomb outside the city is just around the bend. For the last three Sundays following Theophany, our Gospel readings have been from St. Luke, and they have shown the Lord each Sunday drawing nearer and nearer to Jericho. Understand that Jericho is in the valley. It's in the valley, just to the north and the east of Jerusalem. And Jericho is by the Jordan. It's just to the west of the Jordan, at the bottom of the hills that you have to go up to in order to get to Jerusalem. This morning, the Lord has entered the city of Jericho. He's entered it. That means that he's drawing nearer to Jerusalem. And he's passing through it. That means that he is about to turn to the west, because Jericho, as I said, is to the east of Jerusalem. So he's coming down into Jericho at the foothills that would lead you up to Jerusalem. That means that he's about to turn to the west. And I intend for you to be thinking, when I say that, of your baptism. When you turn to the west and spit on the devil. The Lord is turning to the west to make his way up the hill country to Jerusalem. And this is where and when he comes upon Zacchaeus. Now it says that Zacchaeus was rich. He got his riches as a tax collector by cheating people, defrauding people, lying to people, falsely accusing people. But in biblical terms, to say that he was rich is also to say that he was an idolater. Living in Jericho, you could say, as a slave to the idols of his covetousness, even as the Israelites lived in Egypt as slaves to Pharaoh. Or should we say, as I and perhaps you speak for yourself, live in our soul as slaves to the passions of gluttony, lust, greed, of anger, vanity, and pride. So on this Sunday of Zacchaeus, as the Lord passes through Jericho, which is by the Jordan, and turns to the west to make his way away from the Jordan, which is now behind him, up to Jerusalem, which is now before him, and to his cross outside the city, may we say that mystically, inwardly, we, having followed the Lord from the Jordan, we are like the Israelites when they made their way out of Egypt and they set up camp in Otham by the wilderness between Magdol and the sea. That's kind of where we are. We're between the Jordan and Jerusalem. The Israelites were preparing to cross the Red Sea, which was before them. But when they looked up, it says in Exodus, they saw Pharaoh and his armies encamped behind them, ready to take them back to slavery in Egypt. And they were afraid. On this Sunday, the church has brought us to Jericho by the Jordan, as the Israelites were by the Red Sea. With the story of Zacchaeus, she turns our face inward to look at the idols of our lust and our covetousness that have been our masters and still would be. Before us is the Lenten fast that would lead us up to Jerusalem and to the cross and inwardly into the tomb of our heart. And if we got that far, then it would lead us outward into the kingdom of heaven, in the freedom and in the joy of the Lord's holy resurrection and ascension. the completion of his exodus. Behind us is the Pharaoh of our idolatry and all his hosts and all his pride, seeking to draw us back into spiritual slavery. The angel of the Lord, it says, moved from the front to the back of the camp of Israel by the Red Sea with the pillar of the cloud. And it says that it stood between Israel and Pharaoh's armies. And it says that there was darkness and blackness throughout the night so that they were protected from Pharaoh. Behind us, their faithful, is the Jordan. And should we say, the mystery of Christ's nativity, the mystery of his incarnation, the mystery of his Holy Mother, the Theotokos, protecting us from the Pharaoh and all his army, all his hosts, and all his pride. Moses says to Israel, he says, take courage, stand, and see the salvation that the Lord will work for us today, he says, today. The Lord will fight for you. You be silent. The Lord says to Zacchaeus, today I must come to abide in your house. In other words, the hour is at hand. He is going up to Jerusalem, and he's getting ready to go into the temple of your body and into the tomb of your heart. The Lord will fight for you. Don't be afraid. Only be silent. Don't listen to or trust in the wisdom of your own opinions, but listen to the word of the church and trust yourself to the precious cross of the Lord and see with the eyes of your soul the Lord working his salvation for you today in the midst of the earth, in the Red Sea, in other words, in the tomb of your heart. It says that Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. And in the course of the night, it says, a south wind made the sea dry, and the water was divided, and Israel went into the midst of the sea as on dry ground. And the water was a wall on the right and on the left. On great and holy Friday, darkness will descend on the land, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Moses, will stretch out his hand on the cross. He will send forth his spirit like the south wind, and he will divide the sea of death to reveal the better and changeless path that ascends to God, so that the saints who were in the tombs, they'll find the tombs are open. The tombs are open like the sea was opened. The tombs are divided so that the saints that were in them can come out and go forth into the other side of the kingdom of heaven. Those who follow this Lord Jesus Christ as their King, we will descend into the tomb of our heart to find the living waters of the Jordan as a wall on our right and on our left. And we will ascend to God, seeing our pursuer, Pharaoh, seeing our pursuer, the evil one, and all his hosts and all his armies and all his pride drowned in the sea. Understand, drowned in the sea of death that we just passed through by the power of the cross. We will see the destruction of death, and we will see the tomb of our heart transfigured into a bridal chamber. And we will experience the joy of Pascha, which is just a foretaste of what God has created us for, which is to become perfectly one with the bridegroom in the love of the Father, the joy of the Holy Mother and all the saints, and the grace and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.